us in an inspiring time of worship. Love and appreciate you. I'm glad to be here this morning. I mean, really glad. I've had a rough night. So just as a little warning, if I make an exit anywhere during the sermon, it's okay. I'm going to go out that door right there. Y'all can sing a song. Or Jesse Ovard has agreed to step in and preach and finish up for me. So either way, you're in for a real treat this morning. So anyway, hopefully I won't have treats. But again, it's a great day. Dad, we love you. We love you and we appreciate you. And I know many of us have fond memories of our dad, if our dads have gone on. And we're grateful for the work and the love, the effort that's put in to making our lives beautiful and complete. There was a man asked a boy, "How old is your father?" And the little boy said, "As old as me." And the man said, "Well, how can that be?" And the boy said, "He became a father when I was born." I was like, a lot of truth in that, isn't there, church family? I mean, you know, becoming a dad is we grow as fathers in the same way that children grow into maturity, into adulthood. There's a lot of things to learn along the way. And thank goodness for love and forgiveness, amen? Because we need an abundance of both. Now, see, here's one thing that I've recognized about being a father is I think often there are unrealistic expectations that are put on dads. Just to share a personal story of how I've had to deal with this in my own life, I can remember a time when we were getting everything loaded up in the minivan. Did I ever tell you the story of how we ended up with a minivan? It's because we had a kid. It was a sad day in my house. Not for the kid, but to like give up the Explorer for a minivan. Okay, we'll just leave that one alone. So we do learn a lot of things as dads, but sometimes we deal with unrealistic expectations from a lot of different people. And often it comes from the one that we love the most, which is our wife. There was one time I was helping Mindy get everything ready to load up in this minivan, and I remembered the car seat, I remembered the diaper bag, and I remembered the stroller, and I thought I was doing pretty good at this dad stuff. And when I got in the car, all she could talk about from then on was I had forgotten the child. So, hey, we're not perfect. We're not perfect. Several years ago, you know, we were talking about Father's Day, and one of our kids, I don't remember which one it was, it's been several years, they said, "How come we don't have Children's Day?" And Mindy wisely said, "Every day is Children's Day." It is. But every day ought to be Mother's Day, and every day ought to be Father's Day. Amen. Isn't it beautiful that Scripture tells us exactly how we are to live in relationship with our parents? No, it's not always easy. Relationships can be very challenging at times. But the Bible is this law book, this beautiful law book that's been given from God Almighty to his people Israel so that they would mature and really become this city on a hill, a light shining brightly for everyone to see. And other people would be drawn to Israel and learn their laws. And when they learned the laws, they would learn the lawgiver, which would be God Almighty. And God would receive praise. And one of the laws that God gave was, honor your father and your mother. If you remember when we talked about mothers and moms not too long ago, the Scriptures, the law of Moses, is the first in all the laws of antiquity in which dignity was bestowed upon the mother as well as the father. That was countercultural at that time. And so we are to honor our parents. And the reason is that our parents are the ones who are God's agents. This is our calling as moms and dads, as we have children, that we pass on to them knowledge and wisdom in the context of love and discipline. Knowledge and wisdom in the context of love and discipline. So that life will just go really well for them. And that's what we desire. God desires to bless us, And so as young people, as children, as we think about relationships with our mom and dad, it's all about receiving through them the blessings of God. Turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 2. And I just want to read verses 1 through 11. Proverbs 2, 1 through 11. And I want you to see, dads, so if you're a dad, I want you to see in this passage that God is asking us to pass on something to our children. So as this dad passes on something to his son, so we as dads pass these same things on to our children. So listen up. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud, understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright and is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and he protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair. And the Bible says, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. There won't be this divide within you. There won't be this separation of good and bad. It's like it resides within us wholly. For wisdom will enter your heart, knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. So the whole intent of God's word is to pass on knowledge of our Father so that you and I would gain understanding and wisdom and insight, so that we would experience every good path that God has laid out in store for us. Now, I want to contrast that for just a moment. We'll call that the way things are supposed to be. And we'll look at the way things are. Because we really do live at a tough time in which, in media at least, fathers are pictured as buffoons, idiots, browbeat men. Their kids are smarter than they are. They're just a meathead. And it's funny, ha 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 ha. But it's not good, because that's not what men are called to be. In America today, did you know that 90% of all homeless and runaway children grew up without a father? 75% of all youth in drug rehab today grew up without a father. 85% of all children that exhibit emotional and behavioral disorders grew up without a father. 71% of all high school dropouts grew up without, y'all can say it, without a father. 85% of youth sitting in prison grew up without a father. 93% of adult prison inmates grew up without a father. 85% of all prisoners send Mother's Day cards. Do you know how many prisoners send Father's Day cards? 3%. So, Dad, you're the man. Do you hear me? You count. Dad, you matter. Every one of you that are fathers, I don't want us to feel defeated, because this is the reality in which we live. By the way, this is the place that the church today has been called to take the gospel and the good news to so many who don't know their father or don't have a father that has spoken life and love and God's goodness into their hearts. And so the church, those of you that are dads in here, we're not only called to be dads of our children, but to be surrogate dads for so many others who are in these kinds of situations, so that we could help them and draw them into the light of the knowledge of God's word. They say tonight in America, over 24 million youth will go to bed without a dad, more than any other nation in the world. 43% of U.S. children live without their father, U.S. Census Department of the Census. The boomer generation would ask each other, raise your hand if you're a boomer, okay? The flower children generation. Bill says, no, I was in East Texas and I went to A&M. No, my father-in-law is the same way. When you were a child, what did people ask about your dad? They would ask you, what does your daddy do? Today's children ask, where does your daddy live? So, in our culture today, in our society, it's not all good. The number one cause of child poverty today is the absence of father. And so if you want to have a program that's anti-poverty, anti-drug, anti-dropout, and anti-psychosis, what do you need? You need a father. And so we need to encourage fathers to be the men that God has called them to be. Children with involved, loving fathers are significantly more likely, the kids are more likely to do well in school, have healthy esteem, demonstrate empathy and compassion for others. In addition, they are less likely to use drugs, be truant, engage in criminal activity compared to children whose fathers are absent and uninvolved. And so, it's important. Dad, the message I want you to hear today is you matter. You really, really, really do matter. There was one other thing I'll share with you that I found to be interesting. The leading atheist in the world in the past 100 years, Hitler, Stalin, and the psychologist Sigmund Freud, all of these were prominent atheists of their day, influencing modern-day outlook and philosophy and the way we view life, our worldview, shaped by these men. All of them, all three of them, had an enormous disdain for their father. And so we see the consequences of dad, the dad who's involved, the dad who's present, the dad who is there, and the dad that is uninvolved and distant and absent. So, nothing on earth can bless a child like a strong dad. Nothing on earth can bless a child like a strong dad, a strong, loving father that's involved in their lives. You realize, this church family, that God's primary identity in the New Testament is what? Father. Jesus spoke to his father. I think it's 189 times in the four Gospels, God is referred to as our Father. Our Father in heaven. Holy is your name. And so Jesus referred to his Father, referred to God as Father. And the interesting thing about Jesus is he lives in absolute obedience and solidarity with his Father. He says, Jesus says, I only do what I see my Father doing. And Jesus' Father is not domineering or controlling. He doesn't demand this of Jesus. Jesus, like all of us, is given the right of choice. And we can choose. But he demonstrates solidarity with Father God. And the Father God also blesses and demonstrates solidarity with his Son. And so, you see this relationship, and you see this, the Father above pronouncing on his Son, this is my Son whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. Those are the words that were implanted, that were impressed upon Jesus' heart when everything else would challenge that reality. Remember, after Jesus was baptized, he was given this affirmation, you're my Son whom I love, I'm with you, I'm well pleased. And then immediately, what happened, church? Jesus was led away into the wilderness by the devil to be tempted. And for 40 days he didn't eat. And the very first word that he comes to Jesus with is this, if you are are the Son of God. You see, what does he do? He challenges the Father-Son relationship. Jesus' identity as being a son of the Father. Here's what I want all of you to know. Not only does God proclaim Jesus as Father and Abba, God wants to be our Father as well. And that's beautiful news. 2 Corinthians 6:8 says, I will be a father to you and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. Matthew 7:9, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Psalm 68:5, sing to God, sing praises to his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. His name is the Lord, and rejoice before him. A father to the fatherless. A defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. In Psalm 27:10, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. So God is our Father, is reliable, and his example to us as dads is something that we can replicate in our lives. So I would say, if you want to learn how to be a great dad, get in the Gospels and see how the Father in heaven treats the Son and the Son responds to the Father's love. And somewhere in that relationship, in your reading and in your prayers, you may find, if you're open to it, that God will shape and form you into his likeness so that we can be better dads. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3. And I want to look at Jesus' baptism for just a moment and give you something to think about in the weeks ahead. In Matthew chapter 3, this is a passage that we ought to reflect on a lot in our Christian lives. So in Matthew 3, in verse 13, look closely at what occurs. Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It's proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. You see, Jesus didn't have a sin problem. He had never been separated from his Father because of sin. But he is obedient to his Father's will, and that was to receive baptism. And so Jesus and John go down into the Jordan River, and Jesus is plunged beneath the waters to fulfill all righteousness. And verse 16 says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. If there was anything that I could pray on its dwelling place in your heart are these words. First spoken to Jesus, but when we are baptized into Christ, we are made sons and daughters of God. You've been clothed with Christ in your baptism. We're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, Galatians 3, 27 and 28. When you look at this text, let me share with you three things. And we'll just use the acrostic DAD, D-A-D. Each letter is going to stand for something. The first D for dad. So if you want to be a great dad and you want to follow God's example, let's try this, fathers. First of all, define the identity of your children. The first D stands for define the identity of your children. Who are your children? They're your children. They're Corgis and Lewis's and Johnson and Fulmer. Bless those children's hearts. We'll pray for them every day. But our jobs as dads is to define who they are. Not just their name, but whatever we stand for and represent as dads is going to be the inheritance received to those children. If we live godly lives, honorable, with integrity, with character, with virtue in our lives, we are actually setting aside a treasure for our children to inherit, because who you are is how they're going to become, very likely. And now that doesn't mean, now what do you say, the story of the prodigal son, I think that dad was a good dad, amen, church? And he let the son say, okay, you think you're smarter than everyone else in this house. What was missing? The wisdom of God. The father says, all right, you can go find out for yourself. I'll help you. We'll give you the money. It'll get you there quicker, right? You know, if when you give a fool money, he just becomes more foolish, amen? And so what does he do? And he learns something. I had it better at my dad's house. How about I just not be his son, but what if he'll just let me be a servant? And what does the father do? The father restates the identity of the son. For those of you that are parents and maybe you have a child that is struggling or they're just lost or they've lost their way and there's so much confusion in their life, your job is to do the same thing. Just define their identity again. You're mine. I love you. I'll use my strength and my knowledge and will to be a blessing in your life. You have to pour that back into the child's life. And so dad defined their identity. Jesus said, or the father says, this is my son. Number two, affirm the quality. The A in dad stands for affirm. Affirm the quality of what? The relationship. This is my son, identity. Whom I love, quality. Did you see that? Quality. The quality of the relationship. And then direct the way. D stand, the third D, or the last D stands for direct the way. What does the father say to Jesus? This is my son whom I love. Direct the way. With him I'm well pleased. In other words, God says to Jesus, you've been doing this really well. And I just want you to know, keep going. Amen? So keep going. Keep on the path that you're on. I am well pleased with it. And so as we think about how we are fathers to our children, remember dad, define the identity, affirm the quality, and direct the way. I want to share with you a video. I asked Hoss to pull it up. Or how she can go ahead and start pulling it up. I came across this past week. It was a YouTube video with a dad brushing and combing his daughter's hair. And they're in the bathroom and they're videoing this. And the video, the picture sometimes may be distorted. It's okay. What I want you to do is listen to what the two in their conversation are sharing with each other. Okay, Hoss.
How am I doing on your hair?
Good.
Let's see. I need some more grease.
Yes, you need more grease on there.
More grease. And then what?
And then you need to brush it and then put a band on it.
Put a band on it?
Okay. Yes.
Oh.
You're getting through. You're almost done. You're doing a good job.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart, so much. Daddy's trying the best I can. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I'm almost done.
You're doing great.
Oh, baby, thank you so much. You're so encouraging to dad. Thank you, honey.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate you so much. You're so awesome. Dad, getting your ponytails ready for school.
Nope, ready for church.
Ready for church, that's right. So we can go and praise the Lord tonight after school, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's right. All right, what you think? Looks good? All right, thank you so much. I love you, baby. Give us a kiss. Thank you.
Isn't that beautiful? You know, what is she going to be like when she turns 14, 15, 16? I don't know. But I'll just say this. There's a good chance that that young girl is going to feel secure. She knows that she's loved. She knows that the Lord really matters in their life. She knows their daddy is a God man. He follows the Lord. And she has felt his touch. She has heard his voice and felt the rough whiskers on his face. She knows what a man is supposed to be, a man who fears the Lord. Amen. And so, dads, I just want to encourage you. Don't be discouraged from today if you hadn't been living it right before your children. Just learn from the Father in Matthew chapter 3 on how to be a dad. This is my son. Define the identity. Whom I love, affirm the quality, and with him I will please direct his path or her path. God bless you, and let's all be sure, if we have a dad that's not here today, be sure and call them, let them know how much you appreciate them. Let's all stand as we sing and worship.